You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Thoughts of suicide may feel impossible to overcome, but with help and support, you can find hope and meaning. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK to speak to a counselor, or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org. It's free, it's confidential, it's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And even if it feels like it, you're not alone.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy!
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle, and here is my spell.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
It's time now for the Conservative Curmudgeon Radio Show. Now, here's Grouchy.
Good evening, everybody. It is January 9th. I'm sorry it took so long, but it is good to be back with you in this new year. Or January 8th, I'm sorry. I've been gone so long I can't keep track of the days. I hope you had a great holiday. It is so good to be back with you guys. And I just so grateful to be able to be here with KLRN and Rick and everybody else that's on board hosting shows and working in the background and making these wheels turn here. It's truly a good time and place to be here. So bear with me just a second. I'm trying to get into chat. I upgraded my MacBooks over the holiday, and I am just trying to get everything reset and back in there. Man, if you haven't gone to it's not even Mojave now. What the heck is this new Mac OS? Catalina. Catalina changes things on a MacBook, just saying. So anyway, like I said, I hope you had a great holiday. 2 weeks off. I didn't pay attention to crap in the news, but I know we got a couple of things we got to talk about tonight. So get yourself ready. We're going to do that. And we're going to start. Damn. Pardon my hiccups, too. We're going to start off. We're going to talk about, well, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about Iran. Yeah, it's the elephant in the room right now. It's even a bigger hot button than impeachment, which we'll probably get to a little bit later on. So just sit tight. One of our Democratic presidential candidates, the former Vice President Joe Biden, told a campaign fundraiser on Monday night that NATO allies regard the actions of the United States and Iran in the current standoff as morally equivalent. That's right. He said, we're the same as Iran. But just hours before that, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg was asked several times during a press briefing in Brussels whether participants at a meeting of the 29 allies had criticized President Trump's decision to order the killing of Quds Force Commander Qassem Soleimani. And he gave no indication that they had. Stoltenberg did say repeatedly that actions taken by the Iranian regime over the past were cause for grave concern. So where's Biden getting this from? And he's just shooting his mouth off again. Is this just another corn pop? There's something wrong with Biden. You know, there really is. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know if he's just drunk on himself. I don't know if he has that entitlement feeling like Hillary had. I don't know if there's something medically wrong with the man. I don't know if there's something mentally wrong with the man. There's definitely something wrong with the man, though. But it's not just Joe, okay? It's not just Joe because, you know, the left in general, they just lost their crap over the taking out of Soleimani. Now, it's funny because I don't remember them being so critical of Obama when he made the decision to take out Osama bin Laden. And granted, Soleimani may not be known to the level that bin Laden was known at, but Soleimani has been responsible for the planning and carrying out of attacks against Americans, Israelis, Iranians, Iraqis, you name it. He doesn't care. He was basically a hired gun, paid to do what they wanted him to do, and he's been doing it since 1983. Now, back in 83, we didn't have all the fancy internet and you know, the instant information age that we have now. But let me just say that I know for a fact that George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama all had opportunities to take out Soleimani and let him go. They never pulled the trigger on taking him out. And after each one passed on taking this terrorist out, he committed more acts of terror that resulted in the death of Americans. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind as I tell you that Bernie Sanders told CNN's Anderson Cooper Monday night that the missile attack on Iran's General Qasem Soleimani. Well, what did Bernie say? This is what Bernie said. It was an assassination that violated international law. That's what Bernie said. He says, no, I think it was an assassination. I think it was in violation of international law. This guy was a bad news guy, but he was a ranking official of the Iranian government. And Bernie continued to say that once you get into violating international law in that sense, you can say there are a lot of bad people all over the world running governments. Well, Soleimani didn't run a government. He was a colonel in their military. He took his orders from the Ayatollah, and he basically directed Hezbollah attacks as well as terror cell attacks. But the left wasn't done. The left was not done, not by a long shot, because former CIA director John Brennan said that he never heard any discussion about targeting Soleimani during his time in the Obama administration, even though Soleimani was, quote, my principal nemesis, Brennan said. But, you know, they said this guy wasn't, you know, he said he wasn't exactly bin Laden hiding in caves and being protected in secret compounds in Pakistan. He was out in the open. That was the reporter. Okay, Willie Geist. Willie Geist was hammering on Brennan, saying, he said, Seymour, you did a terrible job. You got a little hangover lag from the holidays, buddy. We'll have to get your typing skills brushed up. So he was out in the open. He said, tell me about your decision from your vantage point in the Obama years not to take out Soleimani. What was the calculation there? And Brennan replied, it wasn't really a decision. Well, it was a decision. It was a decision not to take him out. So why did they go there? Why not take out a known terrorist who at that point had been, let's see, let's go back to, we'll go back. Let's just say Trump's been in office 3 years. Let's go back 6 years. That would make it 2014. And we'll add one more year to that to make it 2013. And that makes it 30 plus years that Soleimani had been killing Americans up to that point. Why was there no decision to take him out? What made the Obama, the Clinton, and the younger Bush administration not take this man out? I don't get it. I absolutely don't get it. Former DHS Secretary Jay Johnson went on TV on Meet the Press Sunday morning. And he told them that Donald Trump had ample legal authority to take out Soleimani without additional congressional authorization, which caused Chuck Todd's jaw to hit the table. But, you know, here and there, this is a man who is in the know. I know I did not see eye to eye with Jay Johnson's politics as he was in the Obama administration. I do understand that he was following the orders of his commander in chief. But why would Jay Johnson come out and do this and say that it was perfectly legal and within his realm to do so without congressional authorization to go against every other person on the left that was decrying Trump's decision to take this terrorist out, and the media, God, screw the media, and basically celebrating the guy like he was some kind of saint. You know, it sickened me to watch. If you ever wondered if there was a bias in the media, this story right here, compared to the taking out of Osama bin Laden, is your answer as to whether the media is biased. It stands on its own, and it'll stand forever. Soleimani carried out terrorist attacks and or murders for hire in so many different countries against so many different nationalities that I can't imagine any country other than the country that was sending him to do this work being upset about it. Now, I know some of you are thinking, oh, but the Iraqis, he was Iranian and he wasn't Iraqi, and yet the Iraqi parliament met and voted to expel U.S. troops. Back up, because when you start talking about that, you have to understand that, first of all, the Iraqi parliament was not in session. Okay? They were called back in by Hezbollah, the militant terrorist arm of the Iranian government. Hezbollah from Iran ordered the Iraqi parliament to assemble and to take a vote expelling U.S. troops. Now, to show you where the divide is in politics in Iran versus Iraq, barely a quorum gathered, just barely a quorum gathered to take that vote. 167 of the 328 members of their parliament showed up. The rest of them gave a big middle finger to Hezbollah and to Iran by not showing up. And that'll show you exactly the divide in that country. That's pretty much how it is. So they voted to expel U.S. troops with, like I said, barely a quorum. And the prime minister that is supposed to be signing off on this has resigned. So there is nobody to sign off on it, at least not right now. Who will the new prime minister be? I don't know. But, I mean, let's get down to it. Whether this guy was a terrorist or a general in a military force that was engaged in armed attacks against our people, he was a lawful military objective / target. And for a very long time, the Bush administration and the Obama administration had been engaged in what we refer to now as shadow warfare with the Iranian government. And last Thursday night, what happened with Soleimani is what's referred to in the intelligence/military communities as a decapitation strike, where they take out a very high-profile member of whatever faction it is, whether he was Iranian, whether he would have been Iraqi, it doesn't matter. That was called a decapitation strike. Is it provocative and in your face? Yes. Yes, it is. It's like looking at the Iranian government and saying, screw you, we're not taking your crap anymore. That's what it boils down to. That's what they're upset about. They're upset because we're not playing footsies with the Iranian government anymore. They all went berserk. Trump's taking us to war. What happened? The Iranians lobbed a few missiles. I think that they intentionally missed where the personnel were. I think that the idea was that they just wanted to show their people that they were being strong in replying. And I am sure that they reported over there that there were American casualties, because I know that MSNBC reverberated that report, even though it was unconfirmed. And, what a disgusting thing that was to do. You talk about sending panic through the hearts and minds of military families back home whose loved ones are over there, doing the job. And, you're gonna stand there and put that garbage on TV unconfirmed. Just, we know now it was false. There were no casualties. But just the garbage from the military and the left. Trump's taking us to war. Trump's taking us to war. Here we go. He has no end game. He has no plan. Well, guess what? After Iran lobbed their missiles, I think three or four of which actually made it onto the compound, and they blew up some patches of dirt and maybe a shed or two. Four of them fell almost immediately after being launched. They were showing their butts for their people, their base, the radical mullahs. It just pisses me off when our media sides with them. Yeah, I'm looking in the chat room, the draft. Yeah, there are fake text messages going around about people being drafted. I saw people online actually losing their ever-loving minds over these text messages, screaming about their babies don't deserve to go, and who's going to do the look. Just like I told that one lady in Texas the other night, she was fussing about her 18-year-old having to go to war because of the draft, which there is no draft. I told her that she need not worry if they did implement a draft, that I would go in place of her kid, even though I'm an old guy that's half crippled. And, the whole reasoning would be because if we have to go to the point to where we're going to reinstitute a draft in this country, I don't want the 18 to 22 year. Well, there are some 18 to 22 year olds going, 18 to 25 that I want going, but there's a whole bunch of them that I don't want going, because if we're going to war, I want to win. And the last thing I want is some ringnet t-shirt, sweater vest wearing little kinky afro haired sissy boy drinking a latte, carrying his iPhone around, wearing his skinny jeans. I don't want to go into a foxhole with him. because he doesn't know what to do. I'll go because we need to win. Anyway, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told a news conference Tuesday morning that the drone-fired missile strike that killed Qassem Soleimani has put Iran in a place that it has never been before. Pompeo indicated that the missile strike is part of a U.S. maximum pressure campaign on Iran, and he compared the Trump administration's policy with that of the Obama administration. Pompeo said Iran has had to make very difficult choices. Choices about how to pay for and underwrite their proxy militias around the region. Whether and how to build out their missile program. And this is a flip from where they were 8 years ago. It's not political. The previous administration just made a different choice. They chose to underwrite and appease, and we've chosen to confront and contain. Those are different strategies. We believe ours is successful, and we ultimately believe it will be successful in making Iran behave like a normal nation. We deny them the capacity to build out their nuclear program and threaten not only Americans and our lives, to keep Americans safe, which is our mission, and to also create and enhance stability throughout the Middle East. And Pompeo said they are confident that this will be the case. He said he has never seen the Trump administration engage in any activity such as a military strike without a thorough legal review. And he said he's confident that that was the case with targeting Soleimani. A reporter asked if the drone strike was part of the maximum pressure campaign, which, of course, he said it was. It has a diplomatic component. It has an economic component. And it has a military component, talking about the maximum pressure campaign. Since 2018, May of 2018, when the U.S. withdrew from the Iran nuclear deal, the U.S. has built coalitions around the region with the Israelis, with the Gulf states, and with Europeans as well. We've diplomatically isolated the Iranian regime, and then we economically sanctioned that regime, and now over some thousand sanctions, we've watched the regime struggle to figure out how they're going to make it through 2020. They've got a budget that will fall short by a significant amount in 2020 as a direct result of the pressure that's been put on them. And then you saw over not just this past week, but over the last year, you've seen the security component. You've seen the reinforcement of allies in the region, ensuring that the Emirates and the Saudis and all the others were prepared for what might happen if Iran decided to make choices that were bad for the Iranian people. And then you saw, more tactically, just these last few days, the president's response when the Iranians made bad decisions to kill an American. We hope they won't make another bad decision, but we're prepared if they do. So that was Pompeo. We're going to take a little break. We're at the bottom of the hour. And when we come back, I think that we're probably going to change gears a little bit and maybe move on into impeachment. So do yourself a favor. Stay tuned. We're still knocking the rust off from the long layover, but we'll be back in just a few.
Like an animal, stupid, looking for retirement. Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for the new Sesame Ginger Glazed Chicken Signature Wrap. How would you like it?
I'll take a...
Sports announcer at home?
Yeah, how'd you...
We just know.
My wife picks up the new signature wrap. It's got double the rotisserie-style chicken mixed with a sesame ginger glaze. She appears annoyed at me, but she shrugs it off. Those sweet and savory flavors are calling her name. She lifts the wrap and... She takes the bite! Incredible! And now she's closing the door on my... Subway, make it what you want.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. Double meat basement, average 6-inch sub.
Yeah, that's one thing I missed over the last couple of weeks of not having the show on is I've missed the music. Exactly. Damn, I mean, that's such a good groove.
Yeah, because you can't just listen to it like on your iPhone or something. You know?
Well, I mean, I can, but, you know, who thinks about it, right, when they're off? I mean, do you?
I don't know. I groove to some of my bumper music all the time, but then again, I'm just weird like that, so it's okay.
Oh, well, okay. I mean, my intro music is actually on my gym playlist, so, I mean, there is that.
Nice.
You know. Anyway, welcome back. Let's see. You know, new year, I don't know if it's a new us or not at KORN, so Rick's going to help me with the lineup here. Following me is...
The red wine chooser.
Okay, we're still red wine. Good.
Yep.
And then I don't know who's on the couch tonight, but the ladies will be rocking for sure. I guarantee it. Following them, is it Robinson and Wright still?
Technically, yes. But again, tonight it is Robinson and Amish because Dan won't be back till next week.
Okay, so we're still churning things up on Robinson and Wright with the Amish guy. Yeah, I did it. It was bad. I know. And then are you nightcapping us or no?
Yes, sir. I will be on with America Off the Rails. And quit acting all modest. Everybody loves you because you're so good at being bad. So just knock it off.
Yeah, okay. We'll see. The numbers will tell the truth. Anyway, let's see. Where'd we leave off? Oh, yeah, we left off with that teeth-sucking windbag called the Speaker of the House. That's where we left off.
I'm sorry. Hang on. Did you say teeth-sucking or teeth-sucking?
Teeth.
Just checking.
Teeth.
Okay. I mean,
yes, like she sucks on her teeth when she's doing interviews.
Because either one would have technically been acceptable. I was just trying to clarify for the audience.
I understand. I get it. I know exactly what you mean. But yeah, she's always sucking on her teeth, and it's an annoying sound. Just annoys the piss out of me. It's worse than Biden's teeth dropping out of his mouth. I mean, ugh. I'm going to get some audio of it. I'm going to pull it down and have you cut it up.
That was a visual I didn't need, so ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi told the Democrats in a closed-door meeting that she will not send articles of impeachment to the Senate until she learns more about how the chamber would conduct a potential trial. And that's according to three different people who were present for her remarks. Now, here's an important thing to remember, because I've seen leftists that don't quite understand that until those articles are delivered to the Senate, President Trump is not impeached. It's a technicality. I understand that. But until they walk those things across the rotunda into the other chamber and hand them to the Senate Majority Leader, it's not an impeachment. So right now, they're just playing games. Now, this news came hours after Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said that the Republicans have enough votes to proceed with the impeachment trial with no agreement with Democrats on witnesses or documents. And I saw Schumer trying to play the third grade game, you know, when he was doing his little press conference, and he was talking about witnesses and documents equal a fair trial. No witnesses, no documents equals a cover-up. Whatever. Such a bag of pus. I mean, that's just exactly what he is. Pus bag. Uh-oh. Was that a whistle or?
I'm not sure what that was. That was...
Okay, I thought something was about to happen there that I didn't know. You guys may not know this, but Rick and I kind of have this unspoken thing. He's allowed to chime in with sound effects or his comments or at any point, because I trust him implicitly that way. So I have no idea if he's ever going to hit a button and run a sound bite on me or anything like that. So, ta-da, secret revealed. Anyway,
pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Yeah, the NSA's checking up on me. I hear you. I hear you, Ron. That's good stuff. But anyway, so the news came hours after McConnell said they had the votes to proceed. Earlier on Tuesday, Trump highlighted objections to the prospect of testimony from former National Security Advisor John Bolton, as Bolton's announcement that he is prepared to appear at a trial continued to roil on Capitol Hill. There's also a story out that Trump may exert executive privilege over Bolton testifying, and that would pretty much snuff that option out. The crux of the Democrats' case is the allegation that Trump tried to leverage a White House meeting and military aid sought by Ukraine to combat Russian military aggression to pressure Ukrainian President Zelensky to launch an investigation of former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter, as well as a probe of an unfounded theory that Kiev conspired with Democrats to interfere in the 2016 presidential election. So we know for a fact that there was corruption in Ukraine. We know that. it was being investigated even before Trump got into office. All Trump asked for was for an investigation into the corruption. That's what the transcript of the call showed. That's what he asked for. It's not hard. It's the same thing. You know, and now, if you listen to the Democrats now talking about impeachment, now they're circling back around to the Russia thing. You know, Morning Joe was pushing it today, even pushing the Russia thing all over again. That's already been debunked, re-debunked, and tossed in the garbage, but they can't let it rest. They just can't let it rest. So that's what's going on with impeachment. You know, we're basically sitting on a button. McConnell's ready to go. And by the way, the rules that McConnell is talking about, if you haven't heard him speak on it yet, are the same rules that were in effect when Clinton was impeached. And that is, you know, McConnell is saying, if it's good enough for Bill Clinton, it's good enough for Donald Trump. I don't see a problem here. Anyway, pressing along. CNN has settled a lawsuit with a Kentucky high school student who was at the center of a viral video controversy. The details were not immediately available. An attorney for Nicholas Sandman did not immediately respond to requests for comment. Sandman only tweeted, "Yes, we settled with CNN." Now, I will tell you this. Well, let's go through this first. The news was first reported by WXIX-TV. The local outlet said a settlement figure was not made public at a court hearing in Covington, Kentucky. The settlement will allow CNN to avoid a lengthy and potentially unpredictable trial. Sandman sought $275 million in damages in the lawsuit that he filed against CNN last March. He is a student at Covington Catholic High School and became a national news story when he was in Washington on January 18, 2019 for the annual March for Life rally. In a video that gained national attention, Sandman was in an encounter. We can say an encounter. They encountered one another with Omaha tribe elder Nathan Phillips, who is also a professional antagonist, who was beating a handheld drum and singing at the Indigenous People's March at the Lincoln Memorial on the same day. Another video surfaced days later, provided additional context for the encounter, but the first video had gone viral, touching off widespread controversy as photos of the teenager wearing his red Make America Great Again hat was spread across social media. In the second video, a group of black men identified as the Black Hebrew Israelites were seen taunting the students from Covington Catholic High School with disparaging language and shouting racist slurs at participants in the Indigenous People's Rally and other passersby. Sandman at the time strongly denied accusations against him, saying he had been trying to defuse the situation by remaining motionless and calm. Major news outlets, including the Washington Post, the Associated Press, and CNN, covered the aftermath of the incident. Sandman has also filed lawsuits against NBC Universal and the Washington Post. A federal judge in Kentucky dismissed the lawsuit against the Washington Post. However, part of that lawsuit was later reinstated. So still a couple more lawsuits for Sandman. And while they're claiming that the amount was not disclosed, there are some reports circulating that a number was overheard in a discussion outside of the courtroom before they gave comment to the press, and that that number was $25 million. I don't know whether that's true or not. Those are just some of the reports that are going around. And I will tell you right now, I would not take it as gospel, but it is a possibility. So, the settlement, yeah, we covered that already. So, yeah, I mean, and that's, I just hope this, I hope the other companies line up and empty their wallets for Sandman, just like CNN did. Or even worse for them, I hope they go to court. I really hope they go to court. Because I would love to see just one of these media outlets just get hammered. Hammered, even if he only got half of what he was asking for out of them. That would be such a crippling blow. It should, I mean, even at $25 million, and I mean, I know $25 million is nothing to CNN, Time Warner, Zucker. It doesn't matter. $25 million is a drop in the bucket. What I would have liked to seen is Sandman work a deal out that paid him incrementally over time and would secure his future. I mean, I know $25 million can secure a lot of future. It's more than any of us will ever see in our lifetime. You know, stay a lottery hit. But I just want to see, I want to make sure this young man takes full advantage of this for his future, not just his now. And the other hope I had, and my, our good friend Ordy Packard and I discussed briefly, I made the comment that maybe, just maybe, this was enough of a sting to make just one or two, not the whole company, just one or two individuals take stock of what responsible journalism is. If it just starts a small ripple, that's something. Because, frankly, journalism sucks these days. I mean, it's horrible. You watch Chuck Todd on Sunday morning. What a hack. You know, Meet the Press used to actually be a respectable show. Not anymore. Garbage. CNN and MSNBC, all their primetime shows, garbage. I got a feeling we might run out of stuff here. But
You only got 12 minutes left anyway. You can fake it for that long, I've heard.
I can fake it for that long. I've faked it for longer than 12 minutes.
I'm just going to let you run with that one, bro.
I know. I bet you wish you had a button ready for that, don't you? Oh, anyway, look.
Sorry, folks. Give me a second. He mentioned.
I thought I heard it hang up. What the hell was that?
I don't know what happened. You mentioned I wish. I bet you wish you had a button for that. Next thing I know, Skype hung up. I don't know if it was listening or.
I was going to say, I didn't think you were going to hit the hang up button.
I didn't. I had sent on an email for another show, and next thing I know, you were gone. I'm like, what the
heck? Oh, man, that's funny. Hey, live radio, folks. You never know what's going to happen. Luckily, it was an easy one, and we didn't have to count on Rick to fill the last 11 minutes. So,
yeah, Lord knows I'm only good for like two, just ask my wife.
Oh! Yeah, I didn't have a rim shot button for that, but
That's all right. It deserved the corny one that you could make happen, so it's good.
Well, okay. So, look, you know, Puerto Rico, those poor people. I feel bad for them. I do. I really, really do. Thousands fled their homes on Tuesday after a 10-day string of earthquakes crescendoed in a 6.4 tremor that crushed an elderly man and injured at least 8 other people, sent buildings tumbling to the ground, and left the entire island without power. They just got that damn power grid fully back online after Hurricane Maria. And what kills me more than anything is that people don't even let the ground stop shaking before they start screaming about how Trump's abandoned them and they're not going to get the help they need and meh, 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 meh. Why don't you just wait a damn minute and see what happens? Hours after the pre-dawn quake cut power to the entire territory, a large swath of southern Puerto Rico was shaken by smaller quakes late into Tuesday afternoon. Seismologists said there was no way of knowing when the series of quakes would ease, prompting Puerto Ricans to stay with friends or family, or even sleep outdoors far from the coast, fearful of collapsing buildings or a tsunami. Miguel Santana, a 38-year-old resident of the southwest coastal town of Guyanilla, said he's stringing up a hammock. And I imagine that's probably a pretty popular move. Alexandra Kohlberg, 27, moved out of her deeply cracked home in the nearby town of Guanica with her husband and 4 children, packing their mattresses, a refrigerator, a set of curtains, and their clothes into 2 pickup trucks. Her 9-year-old son was holding a tiny pink bucket with a pet fish that survived the quake and asked, "What do I do with this?" It's sad. I mean, these people are losing their lives and their livelihoods, and there's nothing they can do about it. And until the quake stopped, there's nothing really anybody can do to help them. I mean, what if we fly in millions upon millions of dollars worth of aid, land it, stage it, and then an earthquake hits and swallows it all up? Well, then, you know, I understand they need to go and they need to get to a safe place if there is such a thing with earthquakes going on all over the place on an island. Most of the damage occurred in Guanica, where a 3-story school collapsed, preparing to start a 12-hour shift to protect it from looters. A 63-year-old private security guard said she didn't fear the earthquakes, but her children, aged 37 and 42, were jittery. Power to you, Mom. Right? I mean, 63-year-old security guard woman said, "I'm not afraid of them, but my kids are." A friend who dropped her off at school, a 49-year-old construction worker, said he remains terrified. He said, "I'm not right emotionally. I don't want to feel another one." So what is it about earthquakes that, I mean, I know a 6.9 is pretty strong. It's a pretty strong earthquake. It's not the big one. Oh, 6.4. I'm sorry. 6.4. And then, you know, they had, another quake. No, the strongest one to ever hit Puerto Rico was a 7.3 back in 1918. So it's been 102 years ago. 102 years ago, a 7.3 hit. So obviously there's probably no one alive on Puerto Rico that remembers that. But I mean, I know the quakes in California are mostly smaller, but sixes have happened, sevens have happened. Why is it that Californians can deal with it and move on and live their lives and carry on about what they have to carry on about, but Puerto Ricans cannot? I don't get the difference in mentalities. Puerto Rico is in an area that is prone to earthquakes. This is not something that's new. They do have small ones regularly, mostly offshore. But I mean, that's how it works. But I mean, since December 31st, more than 950 quakes and aftershocks have been recorded in the area of Tuesday's event. Now, most of them are too weak to be felt by human beings. Ordy in the chat room says that they can't cope because they're even more corrupt than California is. That's great. That's great. Yeah, 102. Thanks, Crow. I got it, man. I got it. I figured it out. I had to count on my fingers, but I got it. The Caribbean islands are prone to quakes because they're at a spot where two tectonic plates meet in a complex dance. The North American plate is being driven below the Caribbean plate in some parts of the area, and the two plates are also rubbing each other sideways. So there's a twisting factor to it as well as a pushing factor. As the plates move, they build up stress, eventually causing an earthquake. This is how it works. The unusual location of Tuesday's quake means scientists don't have a detailed historical record to draw upon in trying to assess future activity. But, I mean, it's there. And are they going to need help? Yes, they're going to need help. And are we going to help them? Yes. But we have to get the quakes to stop. You can't just send more people in to be killed, injured, or have the supplies wasted in more quakes. Puerto Rico, you're not forgotten. Stay calm. Stay safe. Help will be there. Well, we didn't get to talk about a couple other things. We didn't run out of stuff like I thought we might. You know, we had some fun things lined up. We're going to talk about Weinstein, Putin's surprise visit to Damascus, Syria, and we were going to touch on the Australian wildfires. They're horrific. I mean, just terrible, terrible. But next week is another week, and we'll try to do it right then. That's the show, folks. If you like it, tell your friends. If your friends like it, you need new ones, but they and you are welcome right here with me every week on KLRN Radio for the Conservative Curmudgeon Show. I'm your host, The Grouch. Peace.
I hate this place. Nothing works here. Medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years.
Here's to us.